This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Lynn and Uma with you on the evening edition. We've been talking about driving, or rather bad driving, in Malaysia. Why are you so like that is what we've been asking. 0377 109 000 is the number to call and join in the conversation. Actually, no, I lie. We've been asking you for strategies and ideas on what we can do to improve Malaysians and their driving.
I will say that we have been sort of very gently called out over text by Andrew, who says, a concern is that when we say that it is questionable what right of way is and allow double parking as acceptable if someone left a phone number, we're just encouraging degrees of bad behaviour. We ought to avoid compromising what's right and wrong. We won't stop double parking, but at least we'll call a spade a spade.
Well, absolutely. I think that's an important point. We've got Mokhtar on the line. Mokhtar, thank you so much for holding. What are your thoughts on Malaysians and their driving behaviour?
Hi, good evening. I drive from Subangjaya to the airport on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Two observations I have realized. One, people changing lane, they don't use the signal. This being a small car or big car, BMW, Mercedes, Proton or whatever. And one more thing, if they want to take over, they don't use signal, they flash your light and they tailgate you. And this is very uncivilized way of driving.
Yeah, that's a huge problem.
What I suggest, radio stations like BFM, after each news for campaign for about 6 months, yes, please tell people, don't do this. When you want to change lane, give signal your signal light. And if you want to take over, use your signal. Yes, I think that's the best way to teach people. And the authorities should put big signs on the highway. If you change lane without getting signal, there's a fine of 800 or 1,000 ringgit on the spot.
All right, Mokhtar, thank you very much for your call. Yeah, I guess, punish people, right? The punitive approach seems to be what a lot of people suggest. I know we've been inundated with like tweets and messages. What are people saying?
Well, there she says, I mean, in line with that idea of there being more of a focus on the stick and the carrot, as opposed to the carrot, there she is more in support of the point-based system, saying reward those with spotless records, punish those who accumulate points, keep it transparent with an app.
See, Lynn, there is a points-based system in Malaysia. It's just not enforced. It was introduced a few years ago.
It was. But I think the crucial thing is we need to do... I agree that there needs to be some element of reward, but
yeah.
I think punishment comes first, because the problem is so large and endemic that at this point we kind of need to address it in a way that makes people understand that there are consequences to their actions.
And, you know, according to Mokhtar, the best way is to treat them like children. Just a constant reminder of use your indicator.
Big public service announcements.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Big old signs, right? I think one of the most interesting things about driving behavior as well is what we were talking about earlier, Lynn and I, about why we are so brave to do and brazen to do the things we do in this country. Meanwhile, when we go overseas, and whether it's Singapore or even if we rent a car in another country, we're so afraid and we follow their rules. And I don't know why that can't translate. I'll give you an example. I was in Japan recently, and at the Japan airport, everyone was so well behaved and used the toilets the way they were supposed to be used. As soon as I got off that AirAsia flight in KL, it was horrific.
I feel like if you're going to drag toilets into this, we'll never get anything done.
No, but Lynn, it is part of the same problem. What happens in those 5.5 hours between Sapporo and Kuala Lumpur?
I think what happens is that we're not taught things right from the very beginning. I mean, from when you first begin to even think about driving, even before you learn, the part where you're in the car driving with your family and observing civil driving, I think it starts there.
You're right.
If you just try and teach somebody how to drive at the age of 17, they've already got the bad habits ingrained. They just haven't been able to act on them.
You know, one of the most interesting things that I remember my mom and dad teaching me when I was a kid, and they were driving and I was riding around in the car, was about traffic lights, right? So sometimes late at night, you know, even if it's the traffic light by your house, I would be like, oh, well, you know, there's no cars here. We can just go. Like, there's no one around, right? And I remember my parents always telling me, like, no, 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 no. You do this and the entire system falls apart.
Everything ends.
Everything ends. You can call us with your thoughts on 77109000. We've got Nazri on the line. Nazri, thank you so much for holding. What do you have to say about driving behavior?
Hi. I believe the current government, the current authority, they have to start looking at the small matters as something that is huge. Hmm. For example, I think road hogging is an offense. It should be an offense, road hogging. If you go to any highway, use any highway on in Malaysia, there will be always there will be those who are driving 70, 80, 90 kilometers per hour on the most right lane. Mm-hmm. So I think that is part of the problem here in Malaysia, because those who are actually on, you know, running for time, they have to overtake these cars, right? So when they are occupying the most righteous lane, so they have to, you know, chill out all the way, and then that will cause some accident lah. So basically, I believe they should be looking at the road hogging kind of as an offense lah. And of course the signal, I agree with the previous caller. So I think not giving an signal is really an offense.
Well, thank you very much for your thoughts. I think you're absolutely right. Not using a signal is probably one of the most dangerous things as well.
No, absolutely. And I also just wanted to kind of draw a comparison to the fact that one of the things that keeps coming up when it comes to how we're appraising the new government is this issue of bread and butter, right? Like, we want to know how they're going to improve our lives in small daily measures. And I think our caller was absolutely right that driving is actually one of those small daily measures.
And toilets.
Okay, calm down on the toilets. One thing at a time. But when it comes to driving, it's something we do every single day. And it's, again, it's the cause of no small amount of stress.
Hey, look east. Look east. Look to Japan. Take on those practices.
You just want the toilets in Malaysia.
No, I mean socially responsible practices, like how to use a toilet and drive properly. We've got Ismail on the line. Ismail, thank you for holding. Tell me, what, you know, we've had comments about enforcement. People have said we need to up our fines and enforcement. Are there any other ways that we could utilize to improve our driving behavior?
I think basically we don't have a proper consequence management. We do have all the rules, but it is not properly enforced.
Mm-hmm.
That is the main problem. So what we think is only paying money, no. I think it's paying fine is not the only short solution.
Right.
But I think you should curtail their freedom. Example, just put them in a lockup for one day.
So that's really, just take the car keys away.
Yeah, when you drive a Ferrari and you overtook 200 miles per hour, well, you say 1,000, I pay you on the spot 2,000. You know,
right.
Example. But you put him one day in jail and with the Ferrari put it outside the police station, I mean outside the fence. Then you know what will happen to the Ferrari. People will be touching and you, things like that. So they will be incurring more to him, you know. So I think consequence management is very important here, which I think we are very lacking.
And also, Ismail, I guess our closest neighbor, Singapore, is a very good example of people losing their licenses, getting suspended. I mean, that hardly ever happens here.
Well, I think that is, again, a consequence management. You have the rules, so just enforce it. As simple as that. But since you don't enforce, people just take things for granted.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Then like 2 days ago, I got this one bus. I was speeding 110. And here you are. He's just, you know, just flashing. And that is a tourist bus. And I wanted to call the plus people, whoever. But my wife said, don't. You know? That is my trip to Malacca.
All right. Well,
the highway. And you're talking about a bus which is 90 kilometers speed. Limit, and they're driving 100, more than 110 because I was 110.
Mm-hmm.
It was taking me, and it was very far in only a few minutes.
Yeah, you're right, Ismail. Thank you so much for your call and for your thoughts. Yeah, we haven't even spoken about, I guess, errant bus drivers. We just had that incident last week.
We did. That very frightening incident.
Very, very
right in the heart of KL.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got Sasha on the line. Sasha, what do you have to say about our driving behavior and any other suggestions on what we can do about it?
I think... Oh, right away. Hi, guys.
Hi.
This is a very interesting topic, and it's something I always talk about with my friends and family. And I think it comes back to, you guys mentioned earlier, you know, learning at 17 alone and not observing earlier on doesn't really help. That's true. I grew up with a family of My dad loves to drive fast, but so we've always had to hold on to our seat.
Yeah, my dad too.
But that also made me, or like made my siblings and I, very vigilant and alert. And I think one key thing I struggle with till today is people have forgotten what the lanes are on the highway or how it functions. Because you have people going at 60 kilometers per hour on the fast lane, or rather the overtaking lane, when they should be really on the far left lane. And those who are going according to the speed limit and they're not in a hurry to get anywhere, they're just enjoying their momentum, going at 80 or 90, whichever the speed limit is, you know, they stay in the middle lane. But then you have, these days, it's the opposite. I see people overtaking on the far left lane, and then people going at 40 on the far right lane, and then people not sure what they're doing in the middle lane on the middle lane. So I think that's why, you know, you kind of have people, and sometimes when they're ignorant about cars coming fast behind them and stuff like that, that's when, like, accidents can actually happen, because they would just suddenly jerk or, like, suddenly brake, and then that car doesn't brake in time and stuff like that. So I think it's just more like being aware of your surroundings. Like, taking that check, you know, checking on your rear mirror, your side mirror and stuff like that more frequently than not. Because I think ignorance is one of the factors as well.
And when
you're so ignorant of your surrounding, that happens. But I do agree that whatever it is, if you're going to overtake or you're going to drive crazy or whatever, using the indicator is really, really important. Giving them that signal. I think it's okay to high beam people. I prefer that than honking.
It's less alarming.
Yeah, you know, you just jolt that person. Like, they could either press the brake or, like, hit the accelerator, and then that's it for them as well. So, yeah.
All right.
But I think it's just more like being more aware of your surrounding and, like, understanding how the lanes work and not hogging the lane as well. That helps.
Well, thank you very much, Sasha. Thank you for your call. I like that. I like Sasha's approach. If you are driving crazily, the indicator is even more
important than it's at least you can do. I just wanted to pick up that point by Sasha about consideration or about ignorance, because Z had a point to make, mainly that bad driving behavior can be attributed to what psychologists call the fundamental attribution error. In other words, we attribute the mistakes of others to their personality or ability. What an idiot, what a terrible driver, while excusing our own errors as situational. That bit of road is dangerous. I didn't see that there. So more consideration to other drivers might be important in terms of improving our driving and reducing road rage, which is a very kind way of approaching things. And I agree. I think a lot of us tend to get, that's one of the big sources of road rage, right? Everybody is stupid but me.
Yeah, yeah, that's a very good point. Thank you so much for that text message. You can keep those coming in. We've been taking your calls. We've been asking you about drivers in Malaysia. It is a perennial problem. We're asking you for your thoughts and suggestions on what we can do to actually improve this behavior. This, of course, off the back of a story. Well, a couple of stories, actually. One of it, a person in a Hilux started ramming into a car that was double parked, something I am sure that has crossed all of our minds, so I'm not going to be judgy about it. And then, of course, the wiping out of AE. Yes, summons, as well as, you know, people standing in parking lots trying to choke parking. Like, it's just bad behavior all across the board.
Which, by the way, is illegal. We did have a message from a listener about how that is, in fact, illegal, whether indoors or outdoors. So now you can kind of throw that in people's faces the next time you see that happening. Also, a big theme coming across the messages is enforcement. People just want to see more of that. But when it comes to culture, we have a message saying it's collective culture. The same offenders will behave like saints in Japan because collective culture. How do you teach that? I don't know. But to produce the synthetic result, law enforcement is the fastest way to get there. Someone else said, is it that great to have a country where people are punished so much and taught how to be socially correct? Japan and Singapore are not very happy nations.
Well, so here's the thing. I think with Japan, it's not so much the punitive. I think the collective culture is taught from a very young age.
Yes.
With Singaporeans, you can tell when they cross the causeway, they behave very badly in their cars in Malaysia. So you're right. That doesn't necessarily work either. We've got Zulkifli on the line. Zul, thank you so much for holding. What are your thoughts on the matter?
Okay. Hi, Lynn and Uma.
Hello.
Hello.
Good evening. Hello.
Tell
can
us
you
more.
Hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Generally, my perception towards Malaysian drivers, they are actually having problems with usage of hazard lights.
Oh my God,
that is
too.
A huge thing, yes.
Hazard lights, yeah. The hazard lights normally, when they stop at the highway, you know, so they just turn on their left signal light instead of the hazard light.
Right.
Yeah, and the other thing is headed lights have been used during rainy season. You know, when it's raining, so people tend to switch on their headed lights. And we are not sure whether the headed lights, whether the car is stationary or moving, and it's quite confusing also.
It's almost as if weather is a general hazard and they're just telling everybody it's pouring. It's a strange habit.
Yes, it is.
So, Zul, what do you think we can do? I mean, in that situation, it feels like education, right? I think people misunderstand the use of hazard light.
Yes, I think they misunderstood all this, the hazard light.
Well, thank you very much, Zul. Sorry, you were saying?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Zul. Thank you for your call. You know, maybe Mokhtar was right in maybe that basic level of information is lacking. Because some people genuinely believe that a hazard light is there to warn people that you're in front of them when it's pouring down.
Okay,
just in case.
It's been a few years since I've done undang, but I'm pretty sure it's there. I don't think...
No, it's there.
Yeah, I don't think it's that we're failing to educate people. It's that maybe people are failing to use it as, you know, as habit once they start driving.
Harry on the line. Harry, thank you so much for calling. What say you?
Okay, my opening statement is all Malaysian parents are teaching their children to break the law.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Number one, how many of them have you seen in the car without a child seat?
Yes.
Two, how many parents are fetching their children to school on motorcycle without helmet? Number three, how many parents are buying projectile fireworks for the children at every festive season? So the parents are teaching the children to break the law. So when they grow up, they teach their children the same thing, you know? So we must start from the basics. The parents need to teach the children not to break the law, just like that.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much for your call. And he's absolutely right. I mean, the kid's going to see it, right? I mean, the parents don't use the indicator. The parents are cursing at some motorcyclist or driver. I mean, it's learnt behaviour.
And it's learnt behaviour from a very young age because we are a driving society and a lot of us do a lot of our growing up in cars.
Max on the line. Max, what say you about our driving situation?
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Well, I think I just want to talk about the appropriate speed to drive in the highway.
Right.
Right. I think, you know, current limit of 110 maximum on the highway probably need to be reviewed.
Right.
Because you have now big cars with big CC that, you know, just one touch on the accelerator, the guy can shoot up to 150 just within seconds. So, and we expect these drivers to drive at 110 on the highway. I think it is just doesn't make sense. And they spend about close to $1 million or $2 million on the car, those kind of cars, you know, they wouldn't want to drive at 110 in the highway. So what is our solution for this? I think we got to be real, right? You know, we on the one hand, we are saying 110 is the maximum. But on the other hand, all of us, you know, can agree that most cars drive past that.
Yeah, well.
So why can't we have a separate limit for different CC of cars? You know, a higher CC car should have can probably be allowed to travel at a higher speed.
Well, thank you very much for that suggestion. That's a very interesting suggestion. I don't know how we'd begin to enforce that. We've got Izam on the line. Izam, we've got to go to the news, but very quickly, what are your thoughts on the matter?
Hi, I think they. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
I think we didn't include, you know, using technology for the, you know, to improve our safety on the road. For instance, if you actually, you know, regulate all cars need to have cameras installed in their cars, so everyone will be watching everyone, you know.
Oh, so that's an interesting approach.
Area in a social media age where you can shame these people who, you know, you recorded they actually do something illegal on the road. So, you know, it actually can improve the, you know, safety because, you know, you don't want your car number, plate number to come out in the being viral or something.
Thank you very much, Izam. I think that is an interesting approach. I don't know I don't know how I feel about vigilante justice like that.
Privacy issues here and there. Yep.
But it might actually work. Thank you so much for all of your calls and your messages. We've got to go to the news after this at the movies. So keep it here on The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.